Okay, everybody, we're here. It is Wednesday. Wednesday, July 27th, 2022. This is the Fakeologist speaking. Under the weather today. Under the weather. But I show up anyway because I had an appointment with a guest. If I didn't have a guest, I would have gone to bed. But I don't like to stand up guests for any reason unless I am completely incapacitated. No, it's not COVID. Did I say it's Wednesday, July 27th, 2022? It's 8:20 p.m. in the Eastern Daylight Saving Time. And on tonight's show, we have from Peace of Mindful, the one, the only, Mark Tokarski. Mark, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm real good.
Good.
I'll hang up your phone. I hear it beeping.
Okay.
I hung up on you. Wow, you've got a phone that makes the howler noise. That's called a howler in phone technology. I have not heard the howler in ages.
Did we get rid of it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So you have an old-fashioned landline.
Well, I do have an iPhone.
Yeah.
I was lectured today, I guess. Not lectured, but advised today that having a cell phone and using Siri and all that kind of stuff is bringing us into the intelligence, AI.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And using the apps and playing all the games does the same thing. I was having a bit of a discussion with Bella. So how you been? And we rescheduled because you went on vacation. Where'd you go?
We went to Alaska.
How'd you get there?
We flew.
Oh, okay.
Even further north than you are. Yeah, we went to, this has been a long process. We have a grandson, just a wonderful kid. And he's growing up now, so we have very little time left with him. So we took him on this trip, knowing it would probably be the last one. And we started just throwing darts, you know, and thought we would go up the Inside Passage or go to Denali or go to Anchorage or whatever. And you look at the map of Alaska, and it's not that far from one place to another until you get on the ground there. It looks like Anchorage and Denali are not that far apart, but that's a four-hour drive.
And it's not an interstate either, probably. It's probably a twisty road.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. So we sat down and decided we have to stay in one area, one small area where we're not driving all day long because he's 15. He can't do that. So we decided on the Seward area. Yeah. And
Seward, right. Wasn't he a governor or something?
Seward was, they called it in the beginning Seward's Folly because Russia sold Alaska to the U.S. and most of the Senate did not want it. He was Secretary of the Interior and he wanted it, so they got it for a ridiculous price.
Do we believe that story? Why wouldn't they want it? Was there a debt attached?
No, and I don't know the details. I've been told that the Russians thought that the river otter was completely used up, and it's an amazing animal with fur that is so thick that you can use a square inch of it to make a square foot. And the Russians thought they had exploited that resource and had no further use for it and could not manage it anyway because it's far away and they had their own problems, so they sold it to us. And that's the story I know, but obviously there are other things going on.
Did you see Sarah Palin? She's the most famous Alaskan of all time, I think, in our generation.
Yes. Yeah, I liked her.
I did too.
Yeah, she's so charismatic.
Thank you. She's not terrible.
Yeah, that too. And she's not gonna light up a room intellectually, but she could light up a crowd like nobody else.
Apparently, if you go to Wales, Alaska, you can see Russia. I'm looking it up now on the map. Can you see the screen?
Okay. No, I can't.
Oh, you can't see the screen? You should be able to see the screen. That's the whole point of having you on the restream there, if you look at your screen.
Okay, I'm looking at the map.
Yeah, there's a map of Alaska.
Okay.
There's Wales right there and Diomede. in the middle of the Bering Strait. I think Diomede is half Russian. No, Diomede is a little island. That's in America. And across the way is Big Diomede. And that's Russia, I think. Maybe not. Crashed LI-2 aircraft. Ooh, interesting. It's a landmark.
So that is what she meant when she said, I can see Russia.
Well, I'm not sure if the islands are both America, these two little islands, Big Diomede. And
one is green and one is white.
Yeah, these islands, it says Diomede Islands. I don't know which is which, but there's nothing there. But there is a crashed LI-2 aircraft memorial. So a plane crash there. Let's look that one up real quick and do an investigation. But yeah, the distance here is from Wales to Diomede. Looks like it's about 20 kilometers. Mm-hmm. There you go.
No.
Yeah. There's the scale on the bottom here. 20 kilometers, maybe 30 kilometers from here to here.
Okay.
You could technically see Russia. She wasn't lying.
Well, whatever her purpose was, I think John McCain was meant to lose to Obama.
Oh, for sure.
She sure livened up his campaign. She just brought so much life to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pretty.
And talking about John McCain, one of your latest pieces was about war stories. So I called it, I cross-posted it on fakeologist.com.
Yes.
And I called it the War Hero Hoax.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a tribute to John LeBron, who keeps talking about the war hoax.
Right, right. That started with Lestrade over at the Mathis site writing about World War II, the Pacific Theater. And he wrote part 8. And that was Australia and the fake war there and everything like that. And as a bonus at the end, he threw in PT-109. And I didn't realize until after I wrote that piece, but PT-109 didn't even exist until they wrote a book by that time about that event when he was running for president. And that's what brought it to life.
The book brought it to life. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. They would have made a movie probably too if they had time.
They did. In 1963 while he was still in office and before the assassination.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yes. Starring Cliff Robertson as JFK.
Cliff. I don't know. So, is that a character actor? I don't know.
Oh, he was here in the States. He was kind of like William H. Macy, you know, in that you see him in every damn movie they had during those days. He played every part there was to play.
Oh, right. He was a character actor, I would say. He was in a lot of the sitcoms as a guest star, I think, maybe a lot of the times.
He might have done that, but mostly he was movies.
Okay.
And in the movie PT-109, he played John F. Kennedy.
Rugged good looks, I guess. Back in when he's younger, rugged good looks for sure.
No, I don't know. You buy the premise, you buy the bit.
Was he a twin?
I don't think so.
Okay, I have to ask because you are the twin master.
I am not the twin master.
No, okay. The face splitter.
You know, my wife was reading something something. She goes a lot of different directions that I do.
Yeah.
And it was about Elvis.
Love Elvis.
Yeah. The gal that wrote that piece said that Elvis was born in Tennessee, Louisiana.
Tupelo, Mississippi.
Tupelo, Mississippi. And that he had a twin brother. And
right.
The twin brother died shortly after birth.
Yes.
And that's why there are two live birth certificates. And that's what Mathis hinged onto in his Elvis piece. When he said that Elvis was an active set of twins as adults. And of course, I can't prove it or disprove it.
No, I wouldn't know either.
Yeah. It's just that Elvis was very active for a brief period of time where he was performing live in Las Vegas and also making movies in Los Angeles. So,
he wasn't just flying back and forth. He was, they had a twin. Yeah. I don't know.
It's possible.
Have you seen the movie?
Those kind of movies, I don't think it takes a lot of work. on the actor's part to get into it and to memorize his lines and do his part and get back to Las Vegas. So who knows?
No, I meant, did you see the Elvis movie that could be the biggest movie of the year right now?
No, totally out of it.
Oh, well, if you're an Elvis fan or half an Elvis fan, I would see it. It's 3 hours, so make sure you drain your bladder first, unless you want to leave early.
Okay.
Really, yeah. It was well done. I'm an Elvis fan. I don't know if I'm more an Elvis fan because just the phenomena. I'm always fascinated by how humans are sold and how they're spellbound by these. These are our idols. So yeah. I'm stunned by it.
He was charismatic.
Yeah. Good looking. Might have even been a woman, I think.
He has something going for him on stage. And that something caught everybody's attention.
Well, it was the hips. The swinging hips, yeah. Man.
When he appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, they only showed him from the waist up.
All right. Are you old enough to have seen that?
Yes. But I didn't.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm 72.
Yeah, no, that's great. I like talking to senior. No, it's people don't talk to their seniors. I don't want to call you a senior, but you're senior to me. So yeah. I try and give you respect just for that. You made it to 72. It's an accomplishment, and you know a lot of stuff. So we should be talking to our seniors and getting this information out.
I had three older brothers, mm-hmm. and in 2007, Joe died. Mm-hmm. And then 2011, within a month, Steve and Tom died.
Right.
Both and Steve was 68, Tom was 69. And I vowed at that time, I'm going to outlive all you sons of bitches.
So good.
My objective was to make it to 70. And here I am, 72.
Is that such a big accomplishment in 2022, though?
I don't know.
Shouldn't be. The average age has got to be in the upper 70s in America. And you,
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They both, my oldest two brothers, Joe, you know, abused his body, smoking, and that got him. But Tom and Steve were very clean, didn't drink, didn't smoke, and both died of cancer.
Did they take vaccines? I mean, that's the obvious question right now.
I don't know if they vaccinated or anything like that. Steve, the one I idolized, underwent prostate surgery. And in retrospect, I think it was totally unnecessary that
the PSA test, yeah. That's almost like a PCR test. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, the PSA was up. Mm-hmm. And I read a book by, I've forgotten the name will come to me, but he is the guy who invented the prostate-specific antigen.
Right.
And he said that the PSA test, unless you are suffering from aggressive prostate cancer, means nothing.
Right, right. It could be an antigen for drinking beer or something. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be. Well, he opens the book by saying, if you have if you are in a truck and you go on a dirt road or everything and incur a lot of bumps and stuff like that, your PSA will be up. Or if you just have a nice roll in the hay the night before.
Wow.
Your PSA will be up because of that.
Right. So, yeah, you're pounding your prostate. That's what happens. You pound your prostate and away it goes.
Yeah, so ignore it, he said. And the only reliable test, which takes considerable expertise, is called the DRE, mm-hmm. where they stick their finger up your ass.
Right, I had that a couple times.
Yeah, and that tells them more than the PSA.
Well, they just detect a lump or a bump.
Yeah. And they are trained to ignore that and go for the PSA.
Oh, really? Of course.
Yeah, a lot of unnecessary surgery going on.
Right. Well, it says here the average life expectancy for a man is 77. So you're right. You're doing well. But unfortunately, they said it will drop because of you know what.
Climate change.
Because of climate change 19, exactly. And we can say all these words because I'm not on YouTube tonight because I've been kicked off so many times. I can't remember how to get it back right now. So I'm trying to tell everyone go to fakotube.com if you're listening to this recorded, then of course you can go to FakoTube.com and watch it. There's not much to see. This is mainly an audio program, but we do put up on the screen whatever we're talking about usually, and it's hard to see anyway. So just enjoy.
I can see it.
Yeah, enjoy the audio experience so you can see that.
Yeah. So anyway, I made it to 72. I'm healthy as I'll get out.
Yeah, you're way more active than me. So if I don't get on the exercise mill like you, I won't make it to 77. So you're super active. How's your ankle? I just read a post.
It's still there. It still hurts.
Oh, Jesus. Did you get on the DMSO?
I put some on for the first time this morning because it was here in the mail when we got back from Alaska. And I did not notice any difference, but I'll keep trying it.
Well, keep thinking it'll help. That's the placebo effect.
I'll go for that too. But you know, the pain is totally bearable. I'm not suffering. I just want that ankle. The things I did while I was seeing a physical therapist was to go on a 9-mile hike with a brace on. You know, it's not something where you have a crutch or anything like that. It's just something that wraps your ankle and puts some pressure on it. And I hiked 9 miles that day, and it hurt by the end of it, by the next day, just like before. And the therapist said, don't worry about it. It won't get worse, and it might get better.
And don't hike 9 miles. Try 8 miles next time. 9 is too much.
I didn't plan on hiking 9 miles that day. I got to a place where they blocked off the trail, and they're protecting an osprey nest. And osprey will abandon their nest if there's any human interference or too much attention, whatever. And I had a choice of going back and making it a short hike or going left and going around and doing another trail and coming out the other end and doing 9 miles. And I thought, oh, what the hell? And I did the 9 miles.
So the flight was okay? There was no COVID calamities? The pilot didn't pass out? Did you have to wear your face diaper?
No, none of that anymore. A few people, but a very small minority, are still wearing face masks.
Right.
We got on a four-passenger small plane, and we flew for 3 hours from Kenai Peninsula down to Brooks Lake and Brooks Falls, which is down. You see the red dot?
Yeah, that's Seward.
Yeah, just go. We had to go to Anchorage to catch the flight.
Right.
And then you go across the Cook Inlet and way down, and you get to a place called Brooks Falls.
Okay.
And if you've ever gotten on the internet and you see these pictures of grizzly bears catching fish in their mouth at a waterfall.
Yeah, I saw that on your thing.
Yeah, that's the place. And when we got there, there were 17 bears there. They were just fishing away and everything. It's pretty spectacular. And then there's a platform there, and you only get a half an hour on the platform just to allow everybody to have a chance. And we had fun on the platform, and then we got off, and we went back on the road and down the river, and we were waiting by a restroom to get in, and two of these monstrous bears just ambled on by us. They didn't care. Yeah, they're used to us.
Very scenic.
Yeah, that was pretty special to watch those guys walk by. And our grandson was a little bit too adventurous. We were at Russian River Falls over on Kenai Peninsula the day before, and we drove in, and then we walked in about a mile. And then we're sitting there on a platform above the river, and nothing is going on. And we're thinking, oh, boy, you know, just we brought this kid here, and there's no excitement. And then all of a sudden, a grizzly bear appears from the side and enters the water, and he's just aggressive. She is just aggressive as hell and catching fish, eating them. We find out that she has 3 cubs, and they are down below. And grandson wants to get down there.
Oh, good idea. Not.
Yeah, so he goes down where he's not too far above them, and he's looking at them. Wildlife photography, the key, if you want a picture that people are going to pay attention to, you got to make eye contact with the animal. He got a picture of the three cubs where they were all looking at him.
Wow.
The most amazing picture.
That's amazing.
And, anyway, we got him back up and got him away. And she was out in the river at that time. So what happens with grizzly bears is that the mother has to protect the cubs because the boars, the male grizzly, these are Alaskan brown. But
they're called boars?
The males are boars. The females are sows.
Like pigs?
I guess so.
Oh, and okay.
The boars will kill the cubs if they get near to them. So the mother is constantly on the lookout for males and has to protect her cubs from them being killed. And this particular day, she was all by herself, and she was able to leave her cubs there on the beach or on just on the shore and go fish, you know, and get some food in her so she could continue to nurse them.
Wow. Like National Geographic Radio right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... We were kind of discouraged on the trip. We did go out on the water in a boat, and we saw the usual sea lions and sea otters and stuff like that. And the boat captain, her name was Jen, said, "Oh, God, there's a whale there." And she put the brakes on, and there was a humpback whale. And it was up in the water and then down and up and then down. There was a big chunk of ice out there. And the whale would get under the ice and move it around. And she figured out that this whale is scratching its back. And so we were treated to a half an hour of a whale circling our boat, which was just delightful for a 15-year-old boy.
But he wasn't scratching his back on the keel, was he? On the
hull? No, just the ice.
On the ice. Oh, wow. That's
yeah.
Cool.
He got close, but never more than maybe 30 yards and everything. We got the feast. We all took amazing photographs.
Wow.
Which is not hard to do when the animal's right in front of you.
Well, I guess you'll be putting them up on Peace of Mindful. Peaceofmindful.com, no? You have them?
Yeah, they're on my camera. I have not downloaded them, and I want the picture of the three cubs. That is the most amazing picture. There was a guy from New Jersey on the upper platform at Brooks Falls. I had it's a Nikon camera from many years ago. And it's,
yeah.
Anyway, I wanted a picture of a fish in midair. So I would hold it to my face, and then I would, when I see the fish, I put my finger down on the camera on the button. But the camera is about a slow half second to roll around, so I never catch it. And so I gave up. I did that 20, 30 times. There was a guy on the upper viewing deck there, and using an iPhone 13, he caught a fish in midair and a bear with its teeth bared, ready to clamp down on it. And because he was a nice guy, he airdropped that picture to everybody around him. And I have that picture too.
I like that airdrop. See, that's an Apple term, and that's I don't even know how to do that because I don't have an Apple. But that's quite a modern, amazing thing one can do.
Yeah, you get into settings on Apple, and you allow it to accept airdrops and from friends and whatever people on your list or from everybody.
No, that's really cool.
Yeah. So that's an amazing picture. That's the one I put on the blog.
Oh, it's already up?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe it's on another
post. Down below. Go down below, Big John. You got to go back to the main page.
All right. Here we go. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you see that? You see the bear just about to clamp down on the fish?
That almost looks like a painting.
It does, doesn't it? It
doesn't even look real.
Yeah, that's an iPhone 13.
Man, oh man, it's crazy.
Isn't that something? And that big bear you see off to the upper right there is an alpha. And he sits in that hole all day long and eats fish, and nobody challenges him. So during the time we were there, which was maybe a half an hour before and then a half an hour on the platform, that guy had 9 trout or 9 salmon.
Is that the sow?
Yeah, the one up at about 2 o'clock.
That's a sow?
No, that's a boar.
That's a boar.
Okay. Yeah, he's big, and nobody challenges him to that spot.
He's in the good spot.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So anyway, yeah, that's a wonderful spot to be. You get the photos of a lifetime, and you get to see these amazing creatures.
A lot of people speculate grizzly bears on their hind legs, that's Bigfoot.
It could well be.
Makes sense to me.
Sure. Sure. I don't believe in Bigfoot.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. And grizzly bears, they don't see too well. They smell very well.
Right.
And they often get up on their hinds just to see what's going on or to smell what's going on.
They had a good vacation, yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
Then you're going to France next?
That is up in the air. We don't know. Our daughter is in Fourny-Voltaire in France, which is very near Geneva, Switzerland. And
Belly of the Beast.
Yeah. She has to go to, she works for the International, or the Red Cross. They have two big outfits. She works for one of them, and she has to go to Beirut. And she's doing a paper to get her master's degree in urban planning. And she's using Beirut as her topic.
Wow.
And she's going to be gone for about 2 weeks, and she has a cat that she loves very much. And we volunteered to take care of the cat, you know, hint, hint, wink, wink, wink. And it could be that we don't go. It could be that we do go and the cat is taken care of, in which case we just use her place for a crash pad and use her car. But if the cat is there, then we're kind of tied down. And it's going to be in the 90s there. So who knows?
Sounds interesting. Why don't we go to the blog and talk a little fakery, media fakery?
Okay.
Keep the audience that are not
have interested. I lost him yet?
Yeah. Yeah, everyone hung up. That's all right.
Yeah, I lose a lot of people with my side blogs and
that's
side
fine.
Stories.
Why don't we talk about your latest post, Big John? And let's talk a little bit about Killing of the King, that concept, just a bit. Then we can just move to a couple more posts.
Yeah. I was a kid, and being 72,
yeah,
the song PT-109, PT-109 is gone, but Kennedy and his group done.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, of course not.
No.
In 43, they put to sea, 13 men and Kennedy, aboard the PT-109 to fight the brazen enemy, and off the Isle of Olesana.
So this is about the JFK pony.
Yeah, it didn't happen. But I think, like, every candidate for office in those days had to have a book that he wrote, and it was even better with this one because it was a book about a heroic thing he did during the war. And Nixon at that time put out a book called Sex Crisis, which was similar to something he was running for office. Somebody wrote it for him. None of it was true. And PT-109 was just crazy in terms of lionizing Kennedy. And he was in office at the time that this song was being played. You know, smoke and fire on the open sea, everywhere you look was the enemy, but Kennedy and his crew lived on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was just made him to be an incredible war hero. He even dragged one of his crewmates from PT-109, which had been hit by a German warship and split in two.
Japanese warship, yeah.
Yeah, Japanese. And he supposedly dragged this guy with a leather strap in his teeth and swam him like 4 miles to
distance. Oh my God. A leather strap in his teeth. Okay.
In his teeth, yeah.
So no wonder he had whatever he had, disease, allegedly.
Well, Tyrone wrote in a comment about this, you'll find underneath this, that he thinks that JFK's infirmities, which were apparent at that time, Addison's disease and the bad back and all that kind of stuff, were birth defects.
Oh, okay.
Inbreeding. If you read that comment, Tyrone is usually on his game, and he has changed his mind. He does not think that JFK, after the fake assassination, went to Scorpio. He thinks he went to a farm in New Jersey.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
why is should we read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
My latest thinking is JFK is that he was an infertile dead end, so he could be used as a sacrificial lamb. No actual death, but a retired persona. I think he spent most of his time at a horse farm in New Jersey owned by Jackie and Aristotle until people stopped looking for him. I'm not that convinced anymore that JFK did any time on Aries Island, Scorpios. JFK had no children to be with on the sly. Oh.
Yeah, JFK Jr. obviously is not his just by appearance.
Right.
Carolyn has a Kennedy look about her, and Ty thinks that he was John's or Joe Kennedy Sr.'s child by Jackie.
Interesting. I suspect now that Jackie and Ari were always married and that Alexander and JFK Jr. are their royal peers. Jr. has been somewhere else as his JFK brand was retired long ago. Also, there appears to be no evidence Ari spoke Greek, but as a shipping magnate, that would put him in the Phoenician camp if you are a fan of that line of thinking. I still strongly suspect Carolyn is Jackie and Joe Sr.'s kid.
Yeah.
So she might be the hidden Joe Jr.'s daughter. The royal males have an infertility problem and the viable wombs rotate looking for a hit. Who JFK's parents were is still a subject for research. Rose and Ethel had 20 kids between them, we are told. But if they did, it was by multiple cousins, half-sibs, as this is the way of these inbreds. JFK's infirmities look like defects within this premise. In some ways, he's an inversion of Caligula who had his own problem. Interesting.
Isn't that, though? And he mentioned in his JFK TV paper that there's no way that Ethel bore 11 children. Mm. And that the Kennedy family is so unique in that manner in that they had so many fake deaths, starting with the older sister, Carolyn.
All right.
And
when did she die at birth?
Hmm?
When did she die? Did someone die at birth?
No, she was in Europe. She was married to a some royalty. I'm not even sure I got her name right. But she died in a plane crash with him, supposedly. And then Joe Jr. dies in a plane crash in the war. And then John dies, and then Robert dies, and then JFK Jr. dies. And that is all so very weird. You know, assume that all of those deaths were fake. Why are they doing it?
Is it just to bring us all down?
Well, that's part of it, I'm sure. But Tyrone thinks that it's just a big gene pool where everybody's breeding, crossbreeding with other people just because they have so few available wombs. Mm-hmm. And they're making babies, and they fake their deaths. And so Joe Jr., who died after World War II, his kids have to go and be raised by Bobby, and he thinks that John Jr., well, that wouldn't make any sense, but he thinks that John Jr. was possibly one of Joe Jr.'s kids, and it makes more sense to me that John Jr., who looks so much like Aristotle Onassis as a young man, is related somehow.
Well, but... What about in vitro back in the day, even in the 60s? I'm sure they were doing them.
Oh, sure, because Brave New World was written in the 1930s.
Sure. So I think the royalty class has always been doing it. So do they really need a womb? They could just take a good egg from anyone and park it in any womb and grow it. Maybe the sperm is related, so we have a few male attributes that might look familiar, but I just wonder about all these people.
I think you're on to something there. I don't understand it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you just said it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think Obama is the first mystery president that doesn't really have a background that makes any sense, and they just put all kinds of deflections around it to make everyone go chasing the wrong way, when in fact it's a breeding program. And I don't see why people don't understand that, because we breed horses and IVF is a huge business. And if you think like I do, then if they're sterilizing everyone with a vaccine right now, that's the only way you're going to get a child. You have to pay for it.
It's going to be difficult in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a famous photo. I put it on the blog before, of Obama sitting, I think, in Central Park with his grandmother and grandfather. And the photo is still obviously fake.
Yeah, they don't even hide it.
Yeah, there's even a hanging hand over his grandfather's right shoulder, attached to no one.
Right, yeah. Why do they always do that damn hand? That's
I don't know. Well, most people are not looking, and if you do look, they think, well, you'll know, but nobody else will.
Yeah, most people are not looking, that's right.
Yeah. Mike McCartney is at, supposedly, his Mike McCartney, the fake one, you know, Mike McGear, he is at his wedding with their father, and they're standing side by side. And he, obviously, and his father and a girlfriend are pasted into the picture, and over his father's hands, over his father's left shoulder, hangs one of those hands attached to nobody.
Right. And then RFK's head is floating above the ground when he's with that famous shot that I believe the photographer who did the 9/11 jumper took that picture too. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're taunting us, but only those of us who know to look, most people are not going to see anything.
No.
But what they're told they see. It's amazing how people conform their minds to what outer voices tell them they are seeing.
And then there's the Marilyn Monroe whole story as well. I heard a really strange podcast that I can't even remember. I can't remember what it was about, but just talking about Marilyn Monroe, and remember right now. It was just,
if they're gonna make JFK into a king, mm-hmm. it helps that he bags the most beautiful woman in the world,
right?
And so,
even if it's a man.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. And Jackie was sitting there through that, just enduring the whole thing, as if Marilyn and John had slept together, which they probably didn't. But
no, because I buy into that all these top stars were trannies as well. I know that's not your domain, but...
Well, if nothing else, they are not sexually active.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
For sure. I mean,
why did Brad Pitt have to adopt children?
Of course. Makes no
and
sense.
These adopted kids of his are going to go on to fame and fortune too, because they probably are drawn from other bloodlines.
Oh, I would agree. They're probably engineered children as well. They have a look. They're from a breeding farm, breeding banks, for sure.
Yeah.
These guys are telegraphing the future. They're telling us who's going to live and who's going to not be permitted to even be born. I think it's a lot easier to prevent birth than to get rid of people once they're born.
Yeah. You've read about the birth rate in Germany being down like 18%.
Everywhere. I think everywhere it's down 20%.
Is it really?
I think so.
It's
not just the poisoning. It's just keeping people apart, for God's sakes. That's just physically afraid of each other. I mean, what was the birth rate after the AIDS campaign started? I know that was when I hit my prime. And then I'm told that if it's heterosexual as well. Well, when you're a teenager, what the hell?
That's all you think about.
I know, but if they tell you you could die, it's makes you think twice, no?
Yeah.
What do
yeah.
you know? Nothing.
Yeah.
So I think just keeping people away and masked up and afraid and not interacting, and that probably has a lot to do with it too. But then there's the miscarriages.
Yeah, and the abortions.
Yeah, spontaneous abortions.
Well, abortions are way down.
Right.
Not well, spontaneous, but...
Well, they're way up if you count vaccines.
Okay.
As an abortive process.
Spontaneous abortions are like miscarriages.
Yeah.
And then procedural abortions are way down
right.
in Germany.
Right.
Which means that that sort of thing comes out of two people hooking up and accidentally getting one pregnant, and they want out of that situation, so they have an abortion.
Yeah.
And that situation is way down as well.
Yeah, for sure, because there's just fewer get-togethers.
Yeah. Or they're having the get-togethers, but there are no conceptions,
mm-hmm.
or not many fewer conceptions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I heard the vaccine stops implantation of the zygote.
Yeah. That's
it just keeps on going.
That's all about my pay grade. I think Steffers may write about that kind of stuff. Right now, she's all about the color magenta.
What's that about? I never read that.
Oh. She's seeing it everywhere and is attaching great significance to it. I have a hard time with it, but I have a hard time with a lot of what she writes. Not that she's not good at what she does and doesn't know what she's talking about. I just don't get it. And on the magenta thing, I don't get it.
Well, she took this from Jennifer Lake. This is a Jennifer Lake article.
Yeah.
So she just reposted it, I think.
Yeah, her piece is very, very long.
What else we got that you wrote? What's the Tom Hanks story about?
Oh, well, I am an admirer of Conan O'Brien. I think he's the funniest man alive.
Why did he do so poorly with his show then? Too funny? Too smart? Well, didn't he not really do as well as... Or did he not get the primetime slot? Did something happen that he didn't get?
Well, he had a long career. Dave Letterman went over to CBS from NBC, and that slot was open.
Okay.
And it was going to go to Gary Shandling, who at that time was doing a show called, I don't know. It was a spoof on late night TV.
Might have been the Gary Shandling show?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Lorne Michaels thought O'Brien had been nothing but a writer before that time. But he managed to light up the writer's room, make everybody laugh every day. And he thought this guy might be good on camera. So he recommended him for a tryout for the spot. So they went out to California where Jay Leno, I think was doing the Tonight Show. And they waited for him to end. And then they brought in a new audience. And they did a complete fake show with Conan as the host.
Okay.
He came out, did a monologue. The audience loved it. And then he interviewed two guests, and he was very natural. And he said afterwards, I never thought I'd get the job. That's why I was so natural. And as a result of that audition, he got the spot.
Oh, wow. Good.
And he took over the Letterman spot. This was 1993.
Right.
And from that day forward, he had two or three very rocky years where he was always in danger of being canceled.
Yeah.
But then he caught on. Then he caught on, and he went on until 2010 or 11, somewhere in there. And Jay Leno was supposed to retire, and Conan was supposed to get the Tonight Show.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember now.
Right. And Leno did not want to retire, so they gave him a 10 o'clock slot, and he bombed in that slot. So he wanted the 10:30 slot back, and that pushed Conan back after midnight, and Conan refused. He said, I won't go on after midnight. And
it's a graveyard.
So they had to enter into negotiations, and Conan got paid like $30, $40 million to walk away. And after that, he did a nationwide tour because that was the only thing he was allowed to do. He couldn't be on TV.
Right.
And he could never mention the name Leno or anything like that. And as a result of that, TBS made him an offer, and he took over a show on TBS and did a late night show there, and that ended in June of 2020.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty good. Yeah, so, it was the Larry Sanders Show. I misspoke.
Yeah, you're right. And Conan was on the air as a late night talk show host for about 30 years. An amazing run. And I knew nothing about him because I was never up that late. I picked up on his podcast last year.
Oh, okay.
And I love the podcast because he doesn't do just six minutes with guests. He does a whole hour. And he is charming and funny, and he brings out the best in his guests. So I love listening to that.
What's the Tom Hanks angle on this? I didn't really read this through.
Oh, the Dave Letterman had left. He had done his last episode of his late night show, and he was on to go to CBS. And in his little dressing room at NBC, and Conan went there just to say, you know, congratulations, good luck, and all that kind of stuff. And as he came out, he said Tom Hanks came up to him, and he was, like, looking through him. He wasn't even talking to him. He put hands on both shoulders and said, this does not happen. I thought, what does not happen? And Tyrone chimed in afterwards and said that Conan is pure Irish.
Oh.
And not at all Jewish at all.
And
Hanks might have been saying, you know, you don't deserve this spot.
Right, right. That's crazy.
You're not among us. You're not of us. That was my reading on it, and obviously I could be wrong.
Right, right.
But Mr. Hanks is completely juiced.
Is that right? Is that what you call it, juiced?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he is a descendant in the Hanks line. Abraham Lincoln's wife was a Hanks.
Wondering what... I had Monica Schaefer on the other night, and she's one of those people that's adamant that the Jews are always doing... It's always the Jews, the Jews. And my take is there's just too many other groups to just let one group take over and do everything. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To have the smallest group just control the world. It just seems so obvious to me, but because it's such a carefully crafted, I think, psyop that most people fall for it. Have I ever asked you who rules the world? Because on all the podcasts I listen to, unless it's just it's the Jews podcast where that's all they say, there's just so many other groups, the Freemasons, the Vatican, S-Mom, it's just the Templars. It goes on and on. There's just so many other groups that have been added and also thrown out of countries.
Yeah. My big problem is that I like Jewish people very much. They are the funniest people on the planet, and most of our comedians are Jewish.
Right.
Many of our actors are Jewish, and many of our very talented scientists are Jewish.
Right.
Ashkenazi Jews are supposedly the smartest people on the planet.
Well, they're told that, I guess, the chosen ones and all that.
Yeah. My name, Tokarski, is Ashkenazi Jew.
Right.
That means I'm among the smartest on the planet. I don't think so. But, I was raised a Christian.
Right. Oh, do you think you have Jewish bloodlines then?
I don't know. Tokarski is a name that comes out of the Tokar region of Ukraine. Mm. And yes, it is Jewish. It's in the Jewish registry.
You should ask Miles Mathis. I'm sure he did. Did he not do a IntelliSearch on you?
No.
Wasn't that part of the package when you visited him?
No, I didn't know anything about this at that time.
But isn't that his specialty?
It is, and I only stumbled on this information long after that fact.
But the registration desk, he must have had your genealogy all laid out when you registered in Taos.
No, he did not. He was not doing genealogy at that time.
Okay.
Or he had just started. But my wife would be a gold mine for him.
Do you think that's a... a useful thing that he does, or is it a distraction?
Distraction. You know, I don't know what it means. And he's a little bit sloppy in his technology.
Okay.
Making easy connections when the connections should be a little better documented, just that Smythe becomes Smith and all that kind of stuff. It just, he doesn't do enough work on it, in my opinion.
Okay.
What I found out about my ancestry was that the Tokars came out of the Ukraine and moved to Central Europe. Tokarski means Polish.
Right. S-K-I.
And that they, many of them eventually migrated to Pennsylvania in the U.S. Right. And sure enough, my grandfather on my father's side was a migrant from Austria to Pennsylvania before he went to work the smelter in Great Falls, Montana.
Okay.
Which is why I'm from Montana.
Is the smelter still there? Or is it in China now?
Well, it was based on the Berkeley Pit in Butte, Montana. At that time, the largest copper mine in the world, and it's depleted.
Mm.
And so all of that stuff is basically shut down. Although there's a fellow by the name of Washington, hint, hint, Dennis Washington, who took over the adjoining pit to the Berkeley Pit and mines copper there now, which kind of lends to my suspicion that these properties never change hands.
They only change
managers. The Washington line, even though George had no children, he had brothers, sisters, and they had children, and they are all over history. I wrote once about John Brown, and supposedly he went into Kansas prior to the World War, the Civil War, and just cold-blooded murdered people, like six people, walking up to the front door and just hitting them with a knife or a scythe or something like that. And even in those days, they had law and order in those territories, and he should have been arrested, but he wasn't. And then he took a bunch of hostages. And one of the hostages was Lewis Washington, who was a descendant of George. And I thought, there you go. You know, the whole thing was fake.
And
you know, John Brown's body lays the molding in the grave, that old thing. He supposedly triggered the Civil War by attacking Fort Sumter in South Carolina. And it turns out that on the night that he attacked that, which was in arms, it was the place where they stored armory. And he attacked it on a night when there was only one guard on duty in a place that held thousands of rifles and tons of ammunition. So that was the thing that triggered the Civil War. And that too appears to be fake.
Right. Yeah. Tyrone says here, and I agree with him, I am of the opinion that today's celebutards are more powerful. I love that word, by the way. I don't know if you took it from me or I took it from him. Are more powerful than the royals of old who occupied the decommissioned thrones of old. Influence is the power yielded, and the collective imagination is no longer enthralled by monarchies. Thousands of screaming idiots flock to concerts, not to coronations. Yeah, I agree. So celebutards are so powerful that they have to be controlled and engineered.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suggested to Tyrone today, your site, my site, I don't care. I wish to hell he would publish some of what he's researching.
Yeah, he should, yeah. Does he have his own site?
No, he used you, and then he used me.
Yeah.
And he you know, he still admires you, so.
Well, that's
either
nice.
Yeah, either way he goes, I'm happy with it. I just want him to be published.
Yeah, I agree. He's got to come back. I don't think he's on my site anymore. Hasn't for years, but he should do another interview with me. I can't even remember what he sounds like now. It's been a long time.
Did you interview him?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, because I've never spoken.
He was called Blue Moon.
Yeah. Was he a good interview?
I think so, because we just went over JFK TV. Let me just type in Blue Moon. And, of course, pre-search isn't working right. So, Blue Moon. And I'll just see where it is. I'll see what he sounds like. Oh, I guess it's not going to work. So I have to go to site, ecologist.com. If you go to fakeologist.com, Blue Moon, episode 111, that's appropriate.
Okay.
Appropriate that he has that number. And let's see.
You know, I'm going to go listen to it.
It's from, look at all these videos that are removed. It's from June 7th, 2014. You're getting old.
On any description. And what we have been doing in the last
evening time, just entertainment.
Let me just go ahead.
Spoofing cooperations. Oh, so I'm convinced that those.
It's just me talking. Where's him?
We saw a representation event conceived years ago.
Have education in media.
There he is.
Especially in production of not only film and film effects, but video effects. So none of this was like, you know, a kick in the head. It's like they did this somehow, but, you know, I just didn't have the emotional investment on how to crack it. When I came across Simon, I did look at all the information critically.
I'm going to put that in the show notes. I number my show notes. That's number one. So
actually, I want to listen to that.
Yeah. I'm going to actually put your site as show note number one. And then show note number two will be Tyrone there. That's a good one. But yeah, hopefully he can come back. That'd be fantastic.
It would be. I would set aside time in the evening just to listen to him.
Yeah, he's good.
He's got so much going on.
He's a librarian or something.
I don't know what he is. I've heard a UPS driver, but...
Really? Okay. I thought he worked in a library in San Francisco or something.
Could well be.
Or a researcher. I don't even know.
But yeah.
Either way, he's got some great stuff there.
Yeah. He was the one who suggested that the Hitler speeches that were given before huge crowds of soldiers and everything, where the crowds just went wild and he lit them up and everything like Sarah Palin, he said that was a Bohemian actor who looked like Hitler.
Right.
That brought in, and I've forgotten the name. Tyrone would spit it out in a minute, but...
Well, how many Hitlers do you figure there were in the end anyway? Just like Joe Biden, just like Putin is really obvious.
Yeah, that would make two for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe more, but I don't know. I did some face work on that kind of stuff and totally screwed it up, so I just never went back to it.
That's all right.
So, yeah.
We should listen to that podcast, FAK111. All my podcasts are free, by the way. Anyone wants to... indulge, there's no paywalls at Fakeologist, just value for value. If you see value, then just pay it forward. If you can't, you don't have any money, then that's great too. There are other people that are benefactors that we're super grateful for, although we're not even for the money.
I've been sending you $1.19 a month
for a while, for long years. Time. Yeah, that's enough.
I was thinking I should bump that to $11.90. You'll get rich in the process.
No, a dollar is fine. You're a regular guest. That's enough contribution. But it's just for people that have no other way to contribute. But you do enough contribution, and I think a dollar is enough. That's the minimum that you can pretty much pay through PayPal. If you had cryptocurrency, you could give me fractions of pennies. But just with PayPal, I don't think they'll deal with anything less than about a dollar. So I think it's enough for most things, especially if you're spreading your wealth across all kinds of the websites you patronize. I think it's totally fair. I usually am $2 a month, which is the minimum on Patreon.
Yeah, I send $6 a month to Rappaport.
Oh, good, yeah.
Yeah, and then I subscribe to John LeBon's site, full price, which was over $200. But
oh, that was a one-time fee.
Yeah, that's for a year. You know, and I told him that's just because you find people that do good work, you want to support them.
I think you should. And he makes a living off it. I don't. To me, it's just a donation thing where it's just there so people can contribute when they don't think they can do anything else. And I think it's really good. I think it's the right thing to do, especially if there's no advertising, which I hate advertising.
I was sitting around with a bunch of people my age at a barbecue one time, and we were talking about music, and the gal was very knowledgeable and talking about the, how you have to pay a royalty if you use music on your blog,
of course,
or your website. And, you know, I said, I have run lots of music on my website now and then over the years, and I'd never paid a dime. And, but I said, it's classical and you don't have to pay royalty on classical music. And she said, that's true. You don't, but you do have to pay the people that play it.
Huh.
So I had not been paying them. And then I found out because my blog is not monetized, nobody cares. I'm not making any money off.
Well, if you put a YouTube video on your blog, then YouTube has taken the money, so you don't have to worry. Well, how are you putting the music on your blog? Because if it's on a service, then they are getting money. Well, they are getting money from YouTube. Nobody's playing it off your site. It's if you took the audio and plopped it on your site, but you're embedding it, so no way do you owe anything. YouTube is getting plays and getting paid, if so I wouldn't worry about that. You're good.
No, I just didn't want to be sued by anybody. And yeah, I won't be.
I don't think Bach is going to be suing you. The Bach family.
I have run the Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth on my site, and Mozart's 21st Piano Concerto, which is beautiful.
Yeah,
stuff like that. But I just do it because I love it so much, and I realize that it's music is personal.
It sure is subjective. What's this quote from Miles Mathis? And this is getting us back into vaccines. Everyone wants to talk about vaccines, especially here in Canada. Yeah. We're on our fourth. What's your take on this?
Let me go to
76 comments. Obviously, this was a post that hit a nerve.
Yeah, it's been drawing comments ever since, and it's been there for quite a while.
Do you think the vaccines are hurting or killing people?
Me?
Yeah. Is that it? Do you have any? Do you see anything in your own world that would
not in my own world? No.
Oh, okay.
This particular quote, he mentioned us.
Oh.
So I felt I could put it up without drawing too much attention from him.
Oh, so this is from your site.
Yeah.
He quoted. To quote MM, despite this, I would say things are...
Okay, I'm confusing two posts. There was another one where he mentioned our site.
Yeah.
And so I quoted him. But this one I thought was interesting because 10 or 20% fewer people on planet Earth. He thought maybe he could be able to afford housing because of that.
Well, he'll get a parking spot probably, but.
And I thought just the opposite. We own our house here.
Yeah.
And I thought if we have 10 or 20% of fewer people on the planet, our house value is going to go down.
No, so, I think there's a lot of people waiting to come in to take over, take your place. Well,
my point was we're both very self-interested without having much in the way of conscience in terms of qualms. That I, on the other hand, am a homeowner, and my first thought on reading these words was, oh no, our house value is going to go down. Where you stand depends on where you sit. That was a quote from Rufus Edward Miles.
Right.
No relation. There's something else from Miles where he did mention us.
Is that in another post?
Yeah, maybe I can find it, maybe not.
Scott finds Miles smug, it says here. And you said you don't like the genealogy and the Phoenicians.
I don't care for Phoenicians. It just doesn't sit well with me.
What does it mean? Aren't those the seafaring people from Egypt?
Yeah, that wound up in Italy and later in England. Supposedly, they are the origin of the powers that run the world right now, which I think of as Freemasons.
Get a little, your mic fell away from you a bit.
Oh, sorry, am I back?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think of Phoenicians as, he thinks of them as the powers that run the world.
Yeah.
And he never mentions the word Freemason.
What about Jew? He mentions that every post.
Oh, every time he gets a chance, yeah.
So Masons never come up?
He's never used the word Freemason, to my knowledge.
As Monica was telling me, she thinks the Freemasons are controlled by the Jews.
Could be.
I thought they were the opposite of the Jews. I thought they hated each other. So this is why I just don't think anyone knows. And I listened to a pretty good audio today with Tracy Twyman, who I never heard of, and she's allegedly dead. And she did
I've never heard of her.
She did a really good interview with Jesse Waugh.
It's with the staff of the school, and we're not talking about the communication between me and her.
That's the wrong post. It's actually this link here.
Welcome to Jesse Waugh Radio. Jesse Waugh Radio.
A lot of them have common elements that make them look really like they're from the same artist in some way. They're not on the floor.
Willingness to even discuss this but that's the funny thing is that nobody actually wants to discuss this. Nobody's actually saying, well, wait a second, we need to question the truth movement as well. You know, the truth movement that says that it's the Jews, and then they list all these Jews after Jew after Jew. And it's like, well, okay, that's fine. But like, is this really identifying the power structure here?
Well, okay. And then here's a question. If it is a satanic conspiracy, in other words, all these people seem to be involved in, you know, covert belief system.
Anyway, that was a pretty good I just find that true researchers, they just never can get to the bottom of it. And I don't think they're being deceptive either.
Yeah, there is no bottom to be had if it goes back to ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great podcast, Radio Jesse Waugh. He was on my show way back in the day. And this is a show he did in 2016. So it is all linked on fakeologist.com/blog. Highly recommend that you guys take a look.
How long have you been doing interviews?
Off and on since the beginning, 2012. I actually interviewed Steve Dayock as my first interview. That was in 2012.
I don't know that name.
But he's a 9/11 researcher. He thinks that Simon Schack, who I think is the one that's figured it out, is wrong in misdirection. So I had him on early.
Okay.
And I really can't keep track of who believes in what and how. But I've been doing it for 10 years. So.
Yeah, I go with the idea that you take what's good from anybody, no matter what you think of them. And Shaq has done so much good work.
I think so. And I think he's in the solar system now, but that's cool. Nobody else is doing it, which is kind of odd to me that I guess nobody really cares where we are in the great scheme of things, which is too bad. But to me, it's more of an indicator that the whole world is off topic and just not doing anything to advance humanity right now. Everyone is just doing things that are completely self-indulgent and are not for the greater good, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why we've been taken over, because everyone's distracted and fooling around and wasting time. We're not really building things. Now, China excluded. I haven't been to China, but I've heard all the best engineers and architects are all in China building China. But over here where we are,
I would say the best scientists are there.
Yeah.
And China, just as an aggregate, doesn't seem to give a shit about climate change.
Well, of course. That's because that's where the world's engine is. So they're chugging away at full steam. So,
yeah, they're putting up new coal plants every day.
Right. And building roads and highways and interstates and cars and everything we're not doing. They have a whole electric car manufacturing that, if it came over here, if it got over to America, it would just wipe everything out over here, from what I understand. Yeah. So there's so much that they have that is not allowed over here right now. So
we, up in Alaska, we rented a Toyota Sienna, which is a hybrid.
Yes.
And, you know, the Prius is, you know, kind of an underpowered little vehicle.
Yeah. How'd you like the Sienna? Because my friend just told me there's an 18-month waiting list for it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We loved it. It had lots of get up and go, lots of power when you needed it. And at the same time, it was so quiet and so smooth. And, you know, it had a, everything on it that you need in a car these days, all the electronics, the beepers, everything like that when you're going to run into somebody, it breaks you, and all that kind of stuff. So everything that you expect in a vehicle these days, it has, and it gets 33 miles per gallon for us.
Well, I'm a Chrysler person because the plant that makes my cars in Canada, so I like to support it, and I have a hybrid, so
okay,
I am thrilled with it. I would never have said that 10 years ago, but I was always a Toyota person, but the Chrysler Pacifica is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm Toyota, but maybe hybrid technology has finally been perfected.
Well, they do say they have this battery problem where the batteries sometimes catch fire, and of course, it's really hard to put a battery fire out. But I'm not sure if that's any worse than gas.
I've heard that about electric vehicles and not about hybrids.
Well, but hybrids are half electric, so the electric half. Yeah, it's the
but
same.
But you never have to back into a charger.
No. And actually, my charger is acting up tonight. And if I couldn't find you tonight, I was going to go try and figure out what the problem is, because it's more technology. It's, you know, we futzed for 15 minutes to get your audio working, and my cars aren't high speed charging right now. And according to the tech that I emailed, they said, "Oh, you got to update the software. Oh, that'll take an hour. Oh, great. Did you let anyone know?" Is that I don't even know if it'll solve the problem, but of course I have to go through the procedure like everything else. So we're so addicted to tech, it's crazy. But
well, so your listeners know, we spent a good deal of time trying to get me hooked up on this end when I looked and saw that my microphone was not plugged in.
Well, that's usually the first question tech support asks.
Yeah.
Is it plugged in? Yes, it's an inane question. I never asked the question of you.
You should, but next time.
Well, I didn't really know what you had, because I can't see, so I didn't know what equipment we were talking about. So, yeah, I guess it's...
Oh, this... Yeah, this is like out in the middle of a barnyard. This is a wooden PC, you know, made out of straw and wood, and it's so old that you really can't use it without having to yell like I'm yelling right now.
Sir Walter Scott is saying yes. He's the one that said that Miles doesn't mention Freemasons, but they're an integral part of the power structure in the United States, are they not? Isn't Washington, D.C. a Freemason occult built town?
The city was designed, you know, with all their symbols and symbology.
Yeah.
As far as I know. Have you, maybe you have read about these world fairs?
I know that some truthers are talking about that, but I don't.
Yeah, some guy by the name of Howdy is talking about that. I think we talked about this before, so I won't repeat, other than he doesn't seem to be aware of Freemasonry, and so he's going to miss all the symbology going on there.
Right. Well, see, I'm aware of everything, and I really don't know, being aware of everything, how the puzzle fits at the top. I do think there's a sharing mechanism at the top. I don't think anyone with any kind of clout or any kind of numbers of people, the Catholic Church allegedly has 1.3 billion Catholics, so to ignore them is kind of impossible to believe that the Pope has no sway.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they're still counting me. I dropped out in the late 1980s. But.
Right. Who knows? Well, a lot of them, I think, are in Central and South America, which is a pretty interesting topic.
I'm going to walk about 10 feet here,
all right,
longer than my cord, and get a book and get right back, okay?
Yeah. I'm almost done because I'm fading tonight. All right. We're just looking through Mark's blog here.
It's a book called Unsettled by Stephen E. Koonin, K-O-O-N-I-N.
What's that about?
It says what climate science tells us, what it doesn't, and why it matters. He used to work in the Obama administration, which gives him credibility among the uninitiated in terms of climate change. And he does, I'm just about done with it. He does a very good job of dissembling what's wrong with climate science. But he gets to the edge of the cliff and he won't go there. You know, he once during the book, he uses the word hoax, H-O-A-X, but he puts it in quotes. And he praises Michael Mann because both of them are physicists by training. And he just, he kind of settles on this idea that, well, maybe they're right about this. And he refuses to see that there's anything nefarious going on there in terms of, you know, conspiracy. And if I were sitting next to him, I would tell him, all you have to do is go read the ClimateGate emails and it'll settle the matter for you. Yeah, they are conspiring.
Well, Tony, who lives near you, what's his last name right now? Rumble. Tony Keller?
I'm not sure. I don't know the person.
Let me just type in Tony Keller. Tony Keller is the best video maker on this kind of topic. Tony Keller, Here he is, Tony Keller.
H-E-L-L-E-R?
Yes, I'll put a link to him. This guy is fantastic.
Okay.
Let's see what he posts here.
Reliance on a single foreign supplier can leave a nation vulnerable to extortion and intimidation. That is why we congratulate European states such as Poland for leading the construction of a Baltic pipeline so that nations are not dependent on Russia to meet their energy.
Tony Keller, yes, he does the best. He, I think, was a, he has another website, he has a website called, is it junkscience.com? Why doesn't he have links to it? But this guy is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm on Google and everything here is criticizing him.
Oh, okay. But if you listen to him, he's...
Hello, this is Tony Keller from realclimatescience.com.
Realclimatescience.com.
I got to write that down.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
The Washington Post motto is, democracy dies in darkness. Rather than being a warning, this appears to be their goal. On July 25th, they ran this article.
Well, I think he could have been a neighbor of yours. He left Colorado and he lives in Wyoming now.
Okay. That would be a neighbor. They're just north of us.
Yeah. So he's in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. Wyoming. His real name is Stephen Goddard.
Oh, okay.
And he has been attacked on the DeSmog blog.
Okay.
That is a blog whose purpose is to attack everyone who thinks that climate science is a hoax.
Right. Well, man-made climate, global warming is a hoax because, that's the main part about it. But he's fantastic.
I wonder what part of Wyoming he's in because I love that state.
He does show a lot of pictures where he is, so you would probably pick it up fast where it is.
Then we need a climate crisis here in Wyoming. The Washington Post prints the same fake news over and over again, year after year, decade after decade. Toto has been pulling back the curtain on these scamsters and the press and academia for the past 14 years. You can visit him, Kyrie Caesar, Toki Nupala, on the web at realclimatescience.com.
He'd be a great guest to have on.
Yeah, he would. I hope you can get him.
Look at his, he's done so much work. It's crazy.
I'm going to go to that blog right now.
It looks like most of the stuff he does are videos. Oh, I see. This is from 2020. Okay, but so he is posting every day. Wow, so he's done a lot.
Yeah, I wish I could post every day, but I ain't that fertile anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to start following him. So there's some tips and tricks for you. I'm going to... Real climate science. I'm already following him on my, I am following him on my feed. So yeah, check him out. I think you'll enjoy him.
Now I got to go back to my blog and see if I've already linked to him.
Right. peaceofmindful.com. Let's see. Real climate. No, I don't think so.
At all? Oh, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I already got them.
Oh, okay. Real climate science. Oh, that's right. Yeah, good for you.
Okay, I'll give them more attention in the future. Most of these links are put up at somebody's suggestion.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily go there or spend a lot of time.
So all right. Well, it was a good show tonight. Good chat. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm going to have to bow out. I want to see if I can get rid of this thing. I'm telling the people in my household that we're not contagious, but I'm the third person to get a head cold in a row. So it's really hard for my argument to work.
Are you near an airport?
No, I'm not. But we've all been in the house, and I really don't think air conditioning is really great for you. And it's been on for a few days.
I don't imagine. The only time I have gotten sniffles and colds and stuff like that is flying.
Yeah, with the canned air. And of course, they said that the air in a plane is much safer than outside because of all the HEPA filters, which is the biggest load of horse hockey I've ever heard.
Well, thank you for reaching out to me again. I hope this podcast does you justice, and always I'm a fakeologist fan.
No, I appreciate it. Well, if you don't mind coming back and just having a chat about one or two posts, it just keeps the interest level higher and makes my podcast more interesting. So,
well, I enjoy it very much.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I like just talking about different posts on your site, and
listening to you is always interesting.
Well, I try to be. It's probably more interesting when I have a guest and I keep quiet, which is hard. But I appreciate that, Mark. So keep doing your blogging, and you're always coming up with stuff, and we are definitely on the same wavelength. So
okay,
you have you back.
Get well very quickly.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I'll play us out.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Good night.